Today on the Cooligans, what an amazing episode. First, we talk a little bit about Calafiore. No, not just that he's going to Arsenal, but how we found out. Maybe his shorty said, there he go.
Yes, and we're also going to talk MLS All-Star and the Men's Olympics. We'll give a little breakdown and preview of the three matches in the group stage for the men. So we'll see how excited and how optimistic we got to be to support our Olympians. So let's go. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Cooligans. Alexis is back, sort of, again. My man is in, everybody's been in Charlie Davies' studio. Christine Kupo was there 2 weeks ago, and now you are there, okay?
Yeah, she left me a note on the wall, kind of like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Brooks yeah. was here.
Yeah. This is where you got to go. If you are stuck in Stamford, Connecticut, you got to do a podcast. This is the official room to do that.
That's it. Charlie Davies is now running a podcast network within the CBS Sports Network. So welcome.
It's like a sublet.
Welcome to the show, everybody. The Cooligans right here on. I don't even know if that worked. Did you hear it?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't hear it. The Cooligans here on Yahoo Sports. My name is Christian Polanco.
Obviously, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And a lot to go over. Obviously, the international tournaments are over, right? The big Euros and Copa America.
And I thought, here comes a nice break. You know, now we get to relax.
No, because now this is what ends up happening is that the international, like the European clubs, just clubs from foreign clubs, come to our country and play their soccer here. You know what I mean? There's a lot of...
just come out here trying to take all of our hard-earned cash that we give them willingly to see some of the starters and a lot of the youth players.
Because that's the thing. It's like, are we gonna fly all the way to Scotland to go see Celtic? I mean, it's a little bit of a bigger plan and a bigger trip. You know, you got
to think about this. Two flights to Edinburgh, right?
Yeah.
Just to see Celtic play. We're talking what? $500 each way mm-hmm. or $500 each ticket. And then when you get there, you got to pay like $40 to see the game. Why do that when you can spend $1,500 on one ticket to see them play here?
Exactly. It's you're paying for the convenience, Alexis.
Yeah.
All right.
That's you bring them to me. It's like Uber Eats. You know, this two slices of pizza shouldn't be $55, but I didn't have to leave my house.
Exactly. So it's all worth it. I don't mind the fees. Obviously, the prices are not that high, but
obviously,
but you know, it's an exciting time. So there's a lot to go over because obviously. The MLS All-Star break is about to, you know, the MLS All-Star game. The break is happening now. The game is on Wednesday. There's a lot of transfers happening. So this time of the year where sometimes it might feel like there's not much going on. If you are just a soccer sicko like we are, this is crunch time. This is when you're refreshing Tom Bogert's Twitter page and Fabrizio Romano, okay? Because they're the ones who got all the scoops, all right? So
you think to yourself, well, who is RSL gonna get? I need to know.
Okay. That's when you know you're in too deep when you're wondering yeah. who RSL is gonna get.
Who is CF Montreal going to spend their TAM on?
Did you hear? They just traded Mason Toy to the Portland Timbers, yeah. bro. Okay.
Bro. Yo, the hot stove never cools down.
You know what I'm bringing up at my next cocktail party, all right? What Mason Toy is up to.
We were just at a party this weekend. That might be the only party happening in the U.S. where you can bring a Mason Toy and Timbers, and people are like, I think he's at a strip.
That's right. We were at the Fashion Meets Football party. Yes. which was
kind of hosted by Juventus.
Kind of Juventus so a couple of folks from like goal.com and stuff
that. Saturday's football.
Raheem was the one who invited us to it.
Yeah, shouts to Raheem. And before Juventus fans freak out that money's being spent at a party, relax. It was not open bar. You know what I mean? You had to go up, you had to buy your own drinks.
Exactly.
Everybody chill.
That was the caution to keep people sort of at bay, you know?
Right. The optics of one free beer would be too much.
Yeah, If you have a drinking problem, if it's not open bar, that's really the thing that's going to keep you going back to your family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, suddenly you don't lose the house.
So thank you for not having an open bar. But that was it was dope. So shout out to them. But I want to start today with some WAG news. You know, we're big fans of WAGs here.
We should have like intro music for this, like breaking WAG news.
Because we all remember like the
WAG report brought to you by Christian Polanco.
I just put on a little press hat, you know.
It's pink.
Okay, obviously instead of a press little sticker, it's a feather, you know what I mean? Yes. It's a little different.
It's got a hit right.
But Calafiori, what's Calafiori's first name? Why am I forgetting his first name?
Ricardo
Calafiori, who plays for Bologna, plays for the Italian national team. What tends to happen during these during the Euros and Copa America, the European during these summer tournaments is stock up, stock down. You know, this is your opportunity. If you're trying to move to a new club, you have a good you have a good tournament. All of a sudden, people are like, "Whoa, who's this guy?" And whatever. So, Calafiori was always kind of rumored, and especially the last few weeks, to have interest.
There's reports back and forth, right? But nothing's been like settled.
Exactly. But we heard that Arsenal were interested, and I always, Arsenal fans are you know, the Arsenal ecosystem online does a great job of like whenever there's a rumor, they hype up the person so quickly. They hype up their own club. They're like, "Yo, our club is doing business. You wish your club did business like we did." You know what I mean?
Damn, what sucks to be y'all, dusty broke boys. But they also turn into CSI. Arsenal fans, remember when they found out where, you know, Isak was registering cars, bro? They will find you no matter where you are. They'll go to your families. They'll figure something out.
Exactly.
And this is another situation similar to that.
This is a little, I mean, they didn't have to do as much detective work because she did a lot of the work for them. But Ricardo Calafiori's girlfriend posted on Instagram an IG story, a message kind of letting the world know that, yo, it's over between me and Ricardo, right? And it was basically because they found a video of him in Ibiza. And have you seen this video, Alexis? I don't think you've seen
it. No.
It's in Ibiza. There's people dancing. And he walks up to a girl that's like standing on some sort of pillar or table or something like that. And he sees her bikini string, like, and he snaps it. He just like does the little snap and then like kind of leaves and doesn't really do much anything else. But the entire world is tagging his girlfriend in this video like, "Hey, Benedetta, have you seen this?"
Wow.
So everybody.
The world immediately turns into the messy best friend.
So they let her know, and she had responded saying like, "Hey, thank you for tagging me in the video. I'm happy to sort of know the truth about you know all of this." And then she ended up posting on IG, and she said, So she wrote a whole thing, and I'll read some of it for you guys. So Benedetta says, "Many of you have been asking what's going on in my life lately, so I decided to finally share it with you. Ricardo and I are no longer together at the moment. I don't know if we will get through, but I doubt it. I needed some time to process everything that happened over the past 3-4 days. I still need time." She continues to say, "Thanks to everyone who showed me the video circulating on TikTok this week. I appreciate it. It was important for me to know the truth. I've watched it countless times, searching for a reason to forgive and forget, but I couldn't." And it continues a lot of stuff about the relationship. But this is what I want to get to, because she goes, "I will not tolerate any kind of hate towards me or him. I wish him all the best as he joins Arsenal. He has all my support." That's the
wow.
That's the one.
Yo, WAG said, "Here we go."
My man. Yeah. So she, from all accounts, she is the first person to report Calafiori has made the transfer from Bologna to Arsenal. So
instead of here we go, she said there he goes,
there,
which is a little different.
There he goes.
Is, she ain't going with him.
There's a tear in your eye when you say there he goes. It's a little bit. It's not as exciting as a Fabrizio.
The tear hit send on that.
The tear.
Which is really, it dropped on the button.
And it
went to the world.
So that's the fascinating thing here is that she scooped Fabrizio. Fabrizio ended up 2 days ago, ended up basically saying, here goes. He goes, Arsenal and Bologna have reached an agreement for Ricardo Calafiori after breakthrough revealed earlier, which is like, you got to credit the source. Fabrizio, you can't do this.
That's like if you told me something and I turned to the camera and said, I'm hearing reports that you know who you heard it from. Who right here is like, yeah, you heard it from me.
You could have just asked me to say it. I was right here.
I also have a microphone. You know, I could have said it. This is wild. Is this the first time you've seen a messy relationship reveal a transfer?
Yeah, and it's weirdly weirdly amicable, weirdly professional.
Well, she's very clearly like emotionally mature.
Yeah.
For her to reveal like, all right, she found out he was doing dirt in Ibiza by everybody tagging her. She asked for answers and had a lot of questions and didn't get enough answers. She said, we're not together. I'm not sure what's going on, but we're not together. And I wish him all the best. Please don't send any hate towards me and him. He's a great guy. He was just, you know, a little loose, essentially is what he said. I will say this much, though. I feel like I'm watching too much soccer because if you think back to the first paragraph when she said three hyphen four years, my first
four
thought
days,
went
days.
To...
She said days.
3 to 4 days. Sorry. My first thought went to 3-4-3. Is that where he's going to play in?
She knows.
He can play
okay.
left center back.
She's like,
yeah.
She's like, bro. Arteta, look, this is the best way. It didn't work out between me and him, but I know what's the best position for him, okay?
Yeah. Or is this a sign? Is this how we should be playing Arteta?
It's interesting because, like, and I credit the emotional maturity here because I have you heard the song? What's the song from Sabrina Carpenter? What's it? Prove
Ain't
Me
nobody
Wrong?
Gonna match my freak.
What's the name of the song? Okay, so but in the song, this has been a popular lyric where she says, heartbreak is one thing, like my ego's another. And then she goes, please don't embarrass me, but please don't embarrass me, mother effer. And that has been like the calling. Like every woman under 23 is like, yes, right there. That's it. That's me.
Yeah.
Don't, you could do whatever you got to do, but don't embarrass me publicly. And that's not what Calafiori did. He embarrassed her publicly.
Sabrina Carpenter is essentially young Carmela Soprano, which is what I'm hearing.
There it is. Okay. She's a ride or die. She's like, just don't humiliate the family. Yeah.
Yo, don't put it in the street. You got me out here looking like an a-hole.
So, a fascinating story. Just the fact that this transfer was revealed. Hopefully, they can work it out. I don't know. I don't know their life. I don't know their challenges or issues. I mean, it's hard to defend the snapping of the bikini thing. What are you, 12?
Like, yeah, if you got a lady, that's not what you do. But I do want to give advice to the ladies that do listen to the show or happen to be watching right now. If you're gonna date a center back, think about it. Don't date one that is, you know, takes risks going forward. You feel me? Like Calafiori.
Right.
What you want to do is one who stays at home. One who doesn't run out on you. You feel me? Get yourself a good old Mark Gahey. You know?
Just somewhat. You provide stability, confidence to the relationship. You know what I mean?
Holds the line, you know?
not easily drawn out by potential attackers.
Not one who runs when in order to relieve pressure, you know? You want someone who's willing to stay home and do the hard work.
Exactly. So, yeah, a lot of parallels there. But there are a couple other interesting moves when it comes to transfers. Caleb Wiley
officially
made the transfer to Chelsea. Which is huge. Obviously, Atlanta United, is he a left back? Well, I don't remember if he's a left or right back. A left back. But anytime I hear of any, especially American player going to Chelsea, especially after, you know, with where Christian Pulisic, I'm just like, there's a little bit of like, don't do it. He's not good for you. I've seen how he's treated others.
Bro, this is now a relationship podcast. I know the last guy he was in. Treated him terrible. Don't you go. I do think though, new owners, right? Like, can we hold it against them? Because that Roman Abramovich era, they were buying every 16-year-old and loaning them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously 18-year-old, but anyone under the age of 22, they were buying, loaning them out. You'd go to Vitesse, you'd go to VVV Venlo, other clubs that start with the letter V in middle of Europe. Like, they would just send you out nowhere. But now it's a little different. You assume if they're bringing Caleb Wiley, I don't think he's a starter right away.
No, maybe but, I'm wrong, but it's official. So. He's going to be loaned to Strasbourg first Fabrizio had tweeted. He said Chelsea have decided Caleb Wiley to move to Strasbourg on loan after the Olympics. Plan confirmed. It follows the same strategy as Andre Santos for Chelsea to send Wiley to Strasbourg. Same style of play and consistency is key. After he spoke with new coach Rosenior. I don't know how to pronounce it, but
yeah, he's young as hell, by the way. Rosenior, he was the kid that was at Hull.
Okay, yeah,
he's like 30 something years old.
We're gonna talk about the Olympics a little bit later as well. Which obviously Caleb Wiley's playing in, but yeah, this is another move that is a little bit tougher, especially for Everton fans. Amadou Onana has officially signed with Aston Villa for £50 million pounds and plus
add-ons.
How
you feeling?
Not good, buddy. Because it's only going from bad to worse when it comes to Everton. Because it's not only are they, you know, players just leaving, I don't even think it's that they necessarily want to leave. It is that the club needs money badly. They are strapped for cash. They're in a lot of debt. I think it's the Friedkin Group that was about to buy the team. They're out. They're like, nah, bro. I saw your credit card bills, and I ain't interested in getting involved.
Damn, I don't know. Your credit score was like that.
So it's terrible to see, but you couldn't. It's so strange that like nobody wants to buy a Premier League club, even if they do have a lot of debt. I don't know. In my mind,
were you surprised that during this they revealed that the reason the freaking group didn't buy them is because they owed too much money to the previous group that tried to buy them?
Because the previous group were like, all right, don't worry, baby girl, I'm gonna take care of you. Don't worry, anybody you owe money to, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And then it's like,
in fact, hold this rack.
And it's like, why is there blood all over this rack? You know,
don't worry about it.
you're asking too many. I'm with you because you're pretty. Why are you talking
When I hand you this bag, are you going to ask me what's inside of it? Or are you just going to put it in your closet and never look?
I can't believe you don't trust me. You know what I mean? Gaslight.
Guy with bloody money.
All of a sudden, all these questions. What? You act like you've never seen blood before.
Damn. What are you, Gal-Gior is a girl? With all these questions.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah.
I'm in the process of trying to figure out what can Everton do to not go through the journey they've been through the last two seasons, which is once again fighting for three seasons.
But yeah,
okay, good point. Three seasons, good point. Can you take another one of these as an Everton fan? Can you really sustain another season of being somewhere between 16th and 19th?
I'm gonna say yes because I've already done it so many times, and many have. So we're built for this, okay? We're built for the bottom of the table. But this is, I think with the new stadium coming, this is where it just feels like we should be turning a corner, right? There should be something to look forward to. the new stadium should bring in an exciting, you know, just more fans at the stadium, more players, more money, you know, all this other stuff. And it doesn't feel like that's going to happen. Again, the biggest fear is Everton getting relegated and then opening their new stadium in the championship, which would only be, the financial issues would be even just exponentially worse if that is the case. So there's a lot of pressure off the field right now to just like, why don't nobody want me, man? You know what I mean? Like, somebody has to just come in and save the day.
Dude, it's frustrating because you look at all these different clubs around the world that are getting purchased. And, bro, nobody wants Everton. How bad? How bad is the credit score? This is like going on a date with a girl and you're like, you know, you're an hour into dinner and you're like, man, she's amazing. She's got great ideas and, you know, she's got a great smile and she's smart. Why doesn't anybody want to date her? And then when she gets up, she's got an ankle monitor. And you're like, you know what? There might be more. Maybe I'm just missing a big piece of the picture here.
There's something.
I'm not saying she's undateable. I'm just saying there seems to be some pressure.
The alarm on the monitor is going off. And I can see why people might be a little hesitant.
Right. I wonder if that patrolman outside is waiting for her. You know? It's so shocking because a lot of this information is so public about the debt they're in, where they need to be. But this seems like the perfect time to buy a club at lower than its valuation, save it, and then now you have an asset that's worth so much more, plus a new stadium opening, plus you're on the dock at, you know, with Bramley Moore. Bramley Moore. I mean, it just seems like the perfect time to do all those things.
It's a nervy time this summer, because again, in reality, the real issue could be like that the Premier League could come down on them and put them into administration, or if they have like really, really deep financial issues. It's just such an kind of an embarrassing situation, and that a lot of Everton fans were sort of already warning the club about probably years ago. Because the current owner, Farhad Moshiri, is just like not really managing the club well. So scary stuff, but, you know, always hopeful. So we'll see what happens.
Best of luck, dear Christian.
A couple of the, MLS All-Star is this week, and MLS will be playing against Liga MX. And MLS hasn't lost to Liga MX, right? I think MLS won both times that they had the competition, if I remember correctly. We were at both of those, and those were fun. This is a an interesting All-Star because Lionel Messi is not there, and
this
is the main thing. Is like we could talk about the game, but it's just like it's more about the fanfare. We say this every year, but like if you ever have an opportunity to go to an MLS All-Star, I highly recommend it. It's something that we've seen with NBA fans, WNBA fans now with the WNBA All-Star game, where there's a collection of a gathering of people that are all like-minded and like the same thing. And can you can get to see people that you argue with on Twitter, and you can see them in person and stuff like that. So it's a nice opportunity. But it's something that soccer fans don't really take advantage of that much. And the All-Star game is, you know, has become more and more sort of high profile year after year with the concerts and the skills challenge and stuff like that. So the fact that Messi is not there is just such a missed opportunity. I hope he attends like that at the very least. It'd be nice. But that's kind of really
dope. That Adidas party is going to be the one to be at.
I know, right? Him and his official Adidas boot. You know what I mean? The Air Cast.
Just drinking mate in the corner of a Columbus nightclub.
I love it. Just a little messy two-step. I would love to see that, man. So that I think
imagine you come in. He's just straight, you know, making him clap.
Wow.
I didn't know Messi had that.
We all have different ways to recover from injuries, so it's all good.
He's working his hammies. I know that.
That's kind of the blemish of him not being there to the All-Star game, but I'm sure it'll still be a lot of fun, to say the least. So what was I going to say next? Actually, you know what? Let's take a quick break because we got to talk about the men's Olympics that are coming up. The Olympics are starting, and we'll see what we think how they're going to do at this tournament. All right, let's get to the men's Olympics. They kick off this Wednesday, July 24th. This is it's interesting that the soccer matches are kicking off before the opening ceremony.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. You know that the men's team is going to be in a city outside of Paris. Their training is in a city outside of Paris, and because the match is, I believe, very close to the opening ceremony, they're not going to get to go to the opening ceremony.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah, because they have to prepare for the next game or something along those lines. Yeah, so, I mean...
That sucks.
Why would you not, give the opportunity for every Olympian to be a part of the ceremony? Because we heard LeBron James is going to be one of the flag bearers and stuff like that. Why can't it just be LeBron and John Tolkien out there holding
the flag?
How great
would it be? All right. There's the joke I'm not going to make.
So
you guess so. You know what I'm talking about.
We are. I mean, if you know, you know.
LeBron James asking Duncan McGuire who he is. That'd be fun.
Duncan, I do that all the time. Anyway, that's LeBron if he just makes really terrible dad jokes, all right?
I hope whoever's watching right now booed when Christian said that.
Okay. The first game, U.S. is facing France. Just as a side note, I'm Dominican. Dominican Republic is in the Olympics as well, which is just absolutely miraculous. But the Dominican Republic played in a friendly against France to prep for these Olympic Games. Guess what the score was, Alexis?
0-0. The Dominican Republic parked that bus.
I wish they were capable of parking the guagua like that, but they lost 7-0. To France. And yeah, the 7-0 results are things I do not want to, it's just it's a triggering number. I don't want to experience that man. Ever.
They did that for Haiti, bro.
Bro, okay. So look,
the diaspora.
Real quick, they're playing France, but let's just a quick look at the roster for the U.S. And obviously,
give you a little nugget about this France game? I don't know. I didn't see this. Apparently, there was another match with France, but U.S. and France played each other. It was a 2-2 draw. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I was not aware. Okay.
Yeah, it was one of the prep matches.
Not bad.
Charlie said it on the show today, but I can guess where he got it from. That this upset the France team greatly, and that they want to make a statement, being that this match against the U.S. is the first match. It basically opens the whole Olympics, and it's at home. So the squad that we're about to look at's got a lot coming at them.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing with the Olympics, especially on the men's side, that it is not as predictable as if it, just was a World Cup or anything like that. Like, right. These are younger players. They all don't have a ton of experience.
Also, it's a much shorter squad, so you got to pick versatile players that can play out of position.
Exactly. It's only 18 person roster. So Gaga Slonina and Patrick Schulte are on the roster. This feels it feels like Gaga Slonina will probably be the starter.
I don't know. Patrick Schulte is having a great season so far.
I'd honestly be fine with either, especially seeing how Patrick Schulte played at CONCACAF Champions Cup. I'd be comfortable with it. Defenders that kind of stand out, obviously, Miles Robinson is one of the over 23 players. Walker Zimmerman, also one of the over 23 players. And I think them in particular, it's just like you have two World Cup caliber center backs, and to bring that confidence and bring that stability. This is where I think, at the very least, I mean, the group is France, New Zealand, and Guinea. And this, it feels like the U.S. should be able to get out of this group. This is not...
Christian, can you remind me of another time where we might have looked at a group the U.S. was in and They were the second best team, and we said that they should probably get
in
out of the
recent
group.
History. Yes, there. You know, we it didn't go so well in Copa America, but in this scenario, again, we just like we should have gotten out of, should have gotten out of that group. We should get out of this group, and even given the 2-2 result against France in that friendly. Again, it's not crazy. It's not crazy that the U.S. could either at least get a result or even possibly win the game. So the other in the midfield, Busio, Kevin Paredes, Georgi Mihailovic. Again, and Tanner Tessman. I mean, if you
incredible.
Watched any, you know, I caught a couple of Venezia matches, and those two players were, especially Tanner Tessman, were really, really important to.
You can see why Inter wanted him. He's really good.
Exactly. And then,
did you know Jack McGlynn is from Queens? By the way,
Jack McGlynn. I heard he was from New York. I didn't know he was specifically from Queens.
Bro, Queens. How did he end up in Philly?
Bro, that's it. The scouting network. In Philadelphia, they go everywhere to try to get some players. But
by the way, the forwards is where I'm a little worried. So you see the names here. We got Duncan Maguire, Griffin Yao, and Taylor Booth. Only one of those is really a forward or a nine.
Right. So,
and that's Duncan Maguire. And I think Duncan Maguire is a wonderful number nine. And I think there's a potential for him to go to Europe pretty soon. There was already talks to him, but the deal fell through.
Blackburn.
With Blackburn, it was like a mistake in the end. I don't know, man. I'm still a little nervous that you really only bring one pure nine and he plays only a specific way. I get having much more versatile players because of the short roster. But again, man, we're doing this thing of like taking these chances.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't think these chances need to be taken.
It's interesting that the over 23 player, you usually bring like an experienced forward. And that wasn't the decision here. Because France has Alexandre Lacazette, so that's a nice veteran
Talk
presence.
About experience. He calls his coach Thierry Henry young buck.
He's like, if you want hey, idea. Young blood. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, look! I didn't know they let the U8s in here. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was you, Thierry.
I wonder about the strategy there because it'd be nice to just have a an experienced forward that has scored a whole bunch of goals. I wonder if it was an issue of like, you know, it would have been Ricardo Pepi in this roster.
Oh,
be great! Him
and Malik Tillman were. Rumor is Ernie Stewart said no.
Okay,
to both of them. Being
I figured that's probably the issue. I don't think it was.
I don't understand Ricardo Pepi not getting the chance, dude. He wasn't really getting starting minutes. It's not like the captain of the team.
Yeah,
De Jong is gone, so he's still going to be there. So you expect Ricardo Pepi to not be starting. I don't understand him not getting those minutes or the opportunity with the Olympics. In particular, I mean, I've heard rumors of names like Jordan Morris they wanted to bring in as one of the overage players, but Seattle wouldn't let him go. So I don't know if it's that the Olympics have slipped down in
like importance.
You know, importance, but I think for a nation like the U.S. that hasn't qualified, since the guy whose jersey is behind me played on the team, that's real, by the way.
Right.
2008-2009 was the last time they qualified for the Olympics. The men's soccer team. I would assume the U.S. would want to send at least not their absolute best, but the best possible players that they could send within the confines of the rules there. It just doesn't seem like that's the case.
Yeah, it's sort of tempering my expectations of like, should I be really? I'm excited about like individual players and their the opportunity for them, but I collectively as a team, I'm like, should I get really excited about this? Like, if they get out of the group, which again they should, then it's like, all right, anything can happen in some of these games, and we've seen, you know, I think it was the U20 tournament that like Tim Weah was in, and like that kind of group of players, and. I think we ended up losing to France in that iteration of it. But we sort of hold our own. We've always said this, like there's at some age the like whether it's like from 17 to like 21 or whatever, like that's when the gap kind of widens between American players and European players.
I think you picked it exactly. That's exactly what that gap is. It's like the post high school gap. Right.
And this is so this tournament should be an opportunity for us to not just look, if we win the Olympics or not, or medal or whatever, like, yes, it'll be cool. But it's really about preparing that next generation. Well, who's going to be playing in the 2026 World Cup? Who's going to be playing in the 2030 World Cup? It's these players, realistically. So that's why we...
I mean, you didn't watch the show Love Undercover, right? That
no,
reality
I haven't seen
show.
It yet.
Okay, the soccer players that pretend that have to come to America and can't tell anyone they're professional soccer players. And one of them is Marco Fabian, who used to play with the Philadelphia Union.
Mm-hmm.
When he finally reveals in, you know, spoiler alert, in one of the scenes, he reveals to someone that he is a professional footballer. One of the things he uses as a credit or as like a validation moment or a clout moment, he goes, yeah, I was a gold Olympian. And immediately the person's like, who cares that you play professional soccer? You won a gold medal in the Olympics, you know? And that's the importance of something like this, you know, where it's like, dude, you have a chance to medal in the Olympics. You get a chance to be a part of the Olympics. This is huge. I think more people should take this as a massive opportunity, both for the nation. And also think about the fans of the Olympics that aren't fans of soccer that are going to be like, oh, the U.S. men's are playing. Let me turn this on and see what's happening. And if we look good and we're balling, maybe they become a fan of the sport. I think it's a huge opportunity. For me, you mentioned players you're looking forward to. For me, Kevin Paredes is someone that I'm looking to see. Can he take that leap? Can he become that senior team in and out? Sorry, yo, we got to get this guy. We got to figure out how to put him in the senior team. Him and goalkeeper, because goalkeeper for the first time in a long time is a position of weakness for the U.S., where it hasn't been since I've ever been watching the sport. So those are two positions that I'm looking at. And maybe there's a little bit of me that wants to see Griffin Yao do really well because he was balling before, and I kind of want to see that continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, obviously the games start on Wednesday. So the three matches are on the July 24th.
France, New Zealand, Guinea.
Yeah, July 24th, July 27th, and July 30th. So, yeah, it's something. The Olympics are like, qualifying sort of like takes a long time, and all of a sudden, like, you know, from when you qualify to when you actually play in the games is such a like huge break. But then it's just like three games in 6 days, and it could be over, right? It's like, so
yeah,
this is why why the Olympics is so difficult. The roster's smaller, the game, there's way less rest in between games. It's really kind of up in the air. This is why the U.S. could actually do well if they can just like manage some of the minutes on some of the players and find a little bit of strength and energy. Playing in the heat is not, it's like everybody has to deal with the same conditions, so that's why it's not impossible for some decent results. But
one of our strengths is being like supreme athletes, right? So maybe that's something that helps.
I think we're over that. Are we? I feel like everybody's sort of caught up, right? Because
nah, dude, I don't think that part they caught up. Yo, we eat a lot more protein than most other countries.
Well, I mean, honestly, a lot of the other countries may not have to play in the consistent heat that we may play in, but it sort of depends, because the players who play in MLS, yes, are sometimes playing in bad conditions, but then the players that play in Europe, it's just like, you know, they're not playing in like ridiculous heat or whatever. So
I don't care about the weather. I just think we build athletes. We build athletes. You know, there's a difference between an athlete and a footballer. I think we've all agreed to that. You
okay.
Know? But we build athletes. I mean, we have people that can run very long, run very hard, you know, can withstand, have a good amount of stamina, good amount of, ability to rebound physically. I think that will help us a little bit. But you still have to be able to play the sport.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Great. Great advice, coach.
I mean, I get out there and have stamina, folks.
You got to play the sport, fellas.
Yeah. It's not just enough to stop running and kick the ball, man.
The other thing that's starting up next week is also Leagues Cup. This is another one of like, how excited should we be? And it feels like Leagues Cup is a thing where maybe after we get out of the group stage, then we're like, okay, now it's actually started, because now we see the teams that have actually cared about the tournament and actually are trying to win it.
I mean, look,
Inter Miami obviously won it last year, and we know Messi's probably not playing in Leagues Cup, but
that was an exciting time though, man. When he came in the league, he scores that free kick.
There's almost no other way to recreate that. That was literally perfect. I don't know if it's gonna we're gonna be able to have moments like that.
Again, another team, like not even Inter Miami, like New York City FC or whoever, another team involved in it would have to sign the hologram of Pele in order for them to have the just the electric, newsworthy, everyday talking about it moment that Inter Miami had with Messi.
Hologram Pele is crazy, bro.
The ball goes right through him, but something happened. I'm telling you, you gotta
watch. How did the ball go through him, but he still got an assist? It's crazy. But the essentially, we're looking at the table in MLS, and if League's Cup, I mean, obviously Liga MX, they're no slouches either. They can also do well in this. But if you're looking at it from an MLS perspective, given the way we're going into the All-Star break and then League's Cup, I would be quite shocked if Inter Miami do not win it again, mainly because of, look, they're playing so well right now, even without Messi. And look, a lot of people were sort of questioning. They were questioning how did Miami build this roster within Major League Soccer? How could
I wonder? But they have some stuff in the past, you know.
And it is what it is. It's just there's a little bit.
Let's just say Calafiori's next girlfriend might be like, "Oh, you going to Ibiza? Well, guess who's going in your checking bag, buddy? This lady right here."
It's something where it feels a little bit the jealousy of Inter Miami's success, even with they obviously have big name players, but not all of them are big name players. And it seems like every player they bring or every player that comes back from injury is doing absolutely fantastic. Obviously Diego Gomez coming back, who is reportedly going to be joining Brighton after the season.
Yeah. I was literally about to say he's going to be gone at the end of the season.
Yeah,
he's played incredibly well.
Diego Gomez, and then Matias Rojas, who just I think either got a brace the other day or scored one. But Redondo, and this is like a genuine question: is it that they are great scouts, or that Tata Martino just knows how to use them perfectly? Because they are. The goals are not necessarily coming from Suarez or Jordi Alba or whatever, and Jordi just scored the other day. But still, all these other guys, it's just like random Argentinian. It feels like they pick up a random Argentinian guy off the street, and they're like, "Ah, okay, I'm gonna be, you know, on the, you know, players of the match week or whatever."
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know where they're finding these guys. I mean, and even Nico, who you know. Pays attention to the Argentinian league very, very closely. He'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, this guy couldn't really get minutes for Boca." Comes in, he's like, "No one knew this guy could play this well." It's like every time there's an opportunity for someone else to shine, they do shine. And it's, you know, we all talked about they're not going to have depth. Their roster is going to be too top heavy. They spent too much of the available funds on the top three or four of their players. They're not going to have the availability to go out and sign, you know, consistent MLS guys that we know that could come in. And somehow they do it. So part of me wonders, is it wonderful scouting? Is it Messi? You know, you train a little harder knowing Messi's watching.
Right.
You know, do you maybe play a little bit different knowing Messi's watching? Is it maybe the tutelage from the older players that are giving you little notes and here and there and turning you into a better player, helping your development? And could it possibly be that Tata Martino is just really that good of a coach that we've seen him do this in MLS before. You know, 2018 was a really special moment for Atlanta. It felt like they were the best team on the planet at moments. And obviously, I know they're not. So for everyone ready to comment. But there were moments where you're like, this is like, there's something special happening here. And it feels like we might be back to that a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it feels a little. I think we're at a point that, you know, there's what, 9 games left in the regular season. Tata Martino probably has to be coach of the year. I mean, he probably has my vote at this point to deal with all the injuries that they've had and still get results, still be at the top of the supporter shield. And now with a 5-point gap, it's impressive. So that's why I'm expecting them to do pretty well in the League's Cup, even without Messi, because they really have looked fantastic. Obviously, when they played in Champions Cup, they didn't look that great because they were dealing with a lot of injuries. But now that the team is healthy, partially healthy, they're my favorites. I think they might do it. I think they might win League's Cup again. So that it'd be entertaining to say the least. All right.
I wonder if they're going to continue to stretch this limited roster though.
All right.
Another competition. But every time I say that, it bites me in the ass.
They find a way. All right. Let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Always appreciate it. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Shout out to everybody watching. If you're watching on a Yahoo article, that's always been nice. I get random messages from people that are like, yo, I was reading this Yahoo article and you popped up. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
I've gotten a few of them as well. Someone's like, hey, man, I was trying to read an article about stocks and click over to sports and then boom, your face is there.
That's
like,
right.
That's right, baby.
You got the coolest friends that are reading articles about stocks.
I said stocks. Oh, how Dominican are you that you saw people who are reading stocks? Are they really in though?
Hey, I need to catch up on the latest sock news, all right?
Where are we? Are we at crew? Are we at no show?
Hey, Yahoo, add another tab. Put stocks and socks. Why?
Bro.
Why are we underrepresenting socks? It's very important.
You know, I could probably write a 300-word article about socks if I'm being real.
All right. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.